Hello, and welcome to Knitwit, Rantings of a Rabid Knitter, a storytelling podcast with occasional knit bits. My name is Carrie, aka Autumn Breeze, and this is episode 85, Silk, Part 2. I want to start out by telling you what I will and will not be discussing in this episode. I will be talking about the life cycle of the silkworm. I will talk about how silk is gotten from the cocoons and prepared for spinning, and I will also talk about the different methods of spinning silk. I will not be talking about the efficacy of having or raising silk. I know that there are some people who think that raising silk is wrong and how it is done is wrong. I also know that there are some people who think that having pets is wrong and raising sheep is wrong, and I understand their position. I do not agree with their position, but I do not want to debate their position at all. I'm going to lay the facts out in front of you, and you can decide whether or not silk is ethical or not ethical, whether or not you want to be involved with it. I don't want to open up my website to this type of argument. I appreciate other people's position, but I don't want to be caught in the middle of any war on silk. And I know that all of the animal fibers that I will be discussing, it's a similar issues. I hope you understand my position of wanting to remain neutral on any of these controversies. Now, on to the main details. A moth will lay between 200 and 400 eggs. The eggs take about 10 days to hatch, and then the worm is approximately a half a centimeter in size. It then begins to eat a lot. It will eat 50,000 times its initial weight in its lifetime. It will eat and eat and eat. It will shed its skin and it will grow, and it ends up being around 7 centimeters in size. When it is between 4 and 6 weeks of age, it will stop eating. It changes color, and then it will start building its cocoon. The silk is secreted from two glands on either side of its mouth, and it runs through the mouth and basically gets spit together. The spit hardens and sticks the silk together, and the cocoon is made. After the cocoon is finished and dried, in about 2 or 3 days, the cocoons are gathered and exposed to a high temperature, which kills the silkworm that is inside the cocoon. Some of the moths are allowed to emerge. They are like mayflies at this point. They cannot eat. Their life is limited to 4 days. They will mate, they will lay their eggs, and they will die. Even if they don't mate, they cannot live beyond 4 days because they cannot eat, and they are living on the fat that is stored prior to going into the cocoon. There are some wild silks that are harvested and raised. The wild silk is a little bit rougher. Its coloration is not as even or as dependable as the farmed silk. Even in the wild silk, what is done is the the people who are gathering the silk, they go out and they gather the cocoons and they leave a proportion of the cocoons behind to allow those moths to emerge and reproduce. And they gather about 90% of the existing cocoons. Once the cocoons are gathered and the silkworm is killed, the cocoons are dried and left, and they can be processed at any time later on. The first part of processing the cocoon is to get the sticky gummy residues from the spit removed. This is done by placing it in a hot boiling water, and sometimes some chemicals are added to aid this separation. And this is where things begin to divide into all kinds of different preparations. You can reel the silk, which is the most expensive and labor-intensive way of getting the silk separated from the cocoon. What you do is you have several cocoons in the bath. You wind a utensil around the silk until, when you lift the utensil up, all the cocoons bob out of the water. And if you are missing one, then you go back and you rub around that cocoon until you get a filament from it. Once you have all the cocoons filaments attached to your utensil, and I'm being pretty vague about the utensil. I've gone as far as just using a wooden spoon. You can use a stick. It really doesn't matter. You want it to be something somewhat rough. I highly recommend wood and not a metal utensil. Some people use a whisk. So whatever works for you. Once you have the filaments all attached to your utensil, you pull it up and you gather them all together and you attach it to something that looks very similar to a swift, and you begin winding until all the silk is wound up off of the cocoons. Sometimes you have to wait a little while because as you remove one layer, the next layer gets a little bit sticky. If a cocoon starts bobbing out of the water, you just kind of push it back into the water and let it get a little bit loosened up, and then you start winding again. And this is the most desirable type of silk and the one that is used in most commercial yarns. What you have left in the pot, though, is something called noils. It's little bits and pieces that have broken off, and you can gather that up and just put it aside. The next way of preparing silk is to make what are called hankies or caps. To do this, you have a frame with nails at each corner. You gently work your fingers into the cocoon that has been boiled and is still wet, although not boiling hot anymore. You work your fingers into the edge of the cocoon, slowly widening out a hole. Once you have a hole in the cocoon, you remove the worm, and then you gently spread it out and laying it on the frame with the four corners. It takes several cocoons to make a single hanky. A cap is just another way of forming the cocoons open and out. And once you have several hankies or several caps, they may be compressed down into what is called a block. Now, any time that you are producing the silk, you will have bits and pieces that are left over. And those bits and pieces are usually gathered together. They're considered a waste by the silk manufacturing producers. and are called noils. Those can be taken and dyed and added as accent pieces to your yarns. By using the silk noils, you can have some very spectacular and beautiful yarns. Now, you can dye silk at several different points in the production. You can dye the cocoons once they have been degummed. You can dye the silk caps. You can dye the reeled filaments. You can dye the yarn once it's made, and you can dye the fabric. Silk is a protein, so it will use any dyes that can be used on any animal fiber, such as wool, alpaca, angora. There is a difference between an animal fiber and a plant fiber. You use acid dyes on the animal fibers. Acid dyes cannot be used on plant fibers. A plant fiber can be stained with an acid dye, but it doesn't become part of the cell structure itself, so it will always be becoming lighter and fading with time. How you proceed with spinning is somewhat dependent upon how your fiber has gotten to you. Usually, spinners use a roving of silk, or they use the silk caps or hankies. Rovings of silk have been cut, and the filaments have all been cut so that they are approximately the same length. This is usually done when you're combining the silk with another fiber and you want to match the two lengths. Personally, I prefer to have silk combined with other fibers. I find silk to be a little bit hard to spin on its own. It tends to stick to any sort of imperfection on your hands, and it also tends to stick to everything else. In general, when I am spinning silk, it has already been prepared into roving and combined with another fiber. However, I have played with spinning silk in other ways. One thing you can do, and is kind of fun, is to spin it actually off the cocoon. You get some cocoons that have been degummed and possibly even dyed. You let them dry, and then you take several cocoons together, pulling the fibers off of them, and spin directly from that. If you have access to silk hankies, there are also several different ways to deal with them. In general, what you do is you take your hanky and you very gently open up the center so that there is a hole in the middle. And then you start pulling the fibers from the center. I'm not really sure why you make a hole in it, but everyone I've ever talked to said you first make a hole in the center of the hanky. I, of course, promptly stuck my hand through the hole and kind of used that to hold the silk onto my non-spinning hand. The person who saw me do that thought, that's a very weird thing to do. And then they thought, wow, that's a really good idea. I'm not really sure why the hole is produced, but anyway, I was told you put a hole in the middle of the hanky. And then you gently pull the silk apart. Now, if you are having trouble with spinning silk, it begins to get tough, it's not drafting very easily, what you need to do is stop what you're doing, go to whatever you're drafting from, and just separate it. Loosen it up and get it to unstick from itself. You don't want to apply force on it. If you apply force, all you're going to do is break the silk. Another cool method that I have seen for spinning silk is to use a swift, an umbrella swift. What you do is you take the silk and you lay it on top of the swift and having the swift open just a little bit. Then you use that like a distaff to hold your silk as you're spinning it. And one final method I have heard for spinning silk from hankies is one in which you do not put a hole in the middle, but you take the corner, you try to separate only one or two layers from the silk hanky. You take that and spread it out until it is very loose and start spinning from the edge. And again, whenever it starts to give you trouble, just go back to it and loosen it gently back up. Silk is one of those wondrous fibers in that it has a very long filament, and it is very, very strong for the thinness that it is. You can make a very fine thread that will be extremely strong. Silk is also very cool in the summer to wear. It breathes extremely well, and at the same time, it adds warmth in the winter. Putting on a layer of silk between you and your wool sweater, it will make you even warmer than you can believe. It is a great insulator. Silk will absorb a lot of water and still maintain its strength. And even when it is wet, it will still wick more water away from you. I can't really think of anything else to say about silk other than when you're working with it, make sure that your hands are well lotioned, because as I said, it will stick to any imperfection on your fingers. I hope you found this information about silk informative and helpful. If you have any other questions or any comments concerning silk, please come by the website, which is autumnbreezedesigns.com, or send me an email at Carrie, and that's carrie.autumnbreeze@gmail.com. I want to thank you for taking time out to listen to my podcast. I hope you have a great week. Take care. Bye.